Welcome to a Saturday night. I am Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind, and for the next 3 hours, we want to try to expand yours just a little bit. Introduce you to some new thoughts and some new ideas, things that we just throw on the table, things you may never have heard about before. And here we sit in the same situation that we sat in last Saturday night, but I think it will be a different outcome tonight. Last week, our scheduled guest was Dr. Peter Guy Manners from England. It's hard to get here from England, and he arrived somewhere in the middle of the show at LAX and could not get here, and is to be here tonight and talk to his people today, so I'm confident he will make it. But he hasn't made it as yet, but that's all right. That gives you and I a chance to do a lot of talking about a lot of things, and we will, until Peter gets here, open up the microphones to talk to you about anything that may be on your mind in that broad area that we talk about on the Open Mind program. Let me give you some numbers if you want to talk in, and we'll just have an open forum for a while. And by the way, I love the open forums. I get an idea of what you're thinking about, what you want to know about, and we can rehash a lot of issues and perhaps toss some new ones around. I'll try my best. If you're in Los Angeles, your number is 520-TALK, T-A-L-K, or 8255, if you want to look at it that way. And all of our numbers end in 8255 or TALK. Out in the San Fernando Valley, and that includes the Simi Valley, Santa Monica, West Los Angeles, your number, these are toll-free numbers, you can call it 990-TALK. If you're in Pasadena, Glendale, or Burbank, your number is 244-TALK. In the San Gabriel Valley, and that includes everything from Whittier to Rosemead to Monterey Park to Montebello, El Monte, Alhambra, call us at 448-TALK. And if you're down in the South Bay area, Torrance, Rolling Hills, Redondo Beach, Palos Verdes, Lawndale, Hawthorne, you know, El Segundo, where you are, your number is 679-TALK. And in Compton, that includes Long Beach, San Pedro, Paramount, Linwood, Downey, call us at 639-TALK. And for our friends down in Orange County, if you're in the 714 or the 619 area code, your toll-free number is 750-TALK. And some of you are in the 818 area code over there. It's funny what this phone company has done with the 818 thing, isn't it? Your number is 448, which is the same as the San Gabriel Valley. And I would like very much to hear from you. And until Dr. Peter Guy Manners gets here and we'll talk about the amazing healing effects of light and color and sound with Peter, who is in the vanguard of this sort of thing, and his techniques are being used all over the world, and even, would you believe, here in the United States. We'll just open it up to you, and we'll talk about any and everything that might be on your mind. And we have touched on a lot of things. I might remind you that we have a date for you. May the 12th. On May the 12th, you and I, all of you that want to go, are going to take advantage of the KABC Travel Club and go to London, you and I are. And this will be a very inexpensive way for you to go to London. And while we're over in London, we're going to have a grand time. We're going to visit a number of the so-called haunted houses. We will talk to some of the marvelous mediums in England. We will visit the House of Lords in Parliament and be briefed on Parliament's investigation of the UFO phenomenon. We may go up to Stonehenge. In fact, we're trying to work that out. All of the details of it are yet to be worked out by Chucky Travel, or Chuck Caramelli, who is in charge of the KABC Travel Club. And if you would like to go with us to London, which is we'll make it as inexpensive as possible. There is a marvelous hotel that we're going to stay in. It's kind of old, and it's kind of Victorian, and it's kind of fun, right in the heart of London. I would like for you to write me. Give me your name and address. And just simply say you'd like to go, and then the travel club will contact you and give you all the details. We may have an opportunity to spend some time with the great medium, Frieda Fell, and to spend some time with Rosemary Brown. You know who Rosemary is, the lady who is in contact with the ancient masters and is writing magnificent music. We'll try to make it as exciting a trip as possible. It'll be just for a week, and I think it'll be a great week that we'll all have fun together. Sue, we'll all go over there together. If you want to go, write me. Give us your name and address, telephone number, how we can contact you, and then get all the details and what it would cost and all of that sort of thing on to you. Meanwhile, let's go on to our callers. I think we have Patrick on the line. Hello, Patrick.
What's Hello, Bill. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
I listen to your show all the time, and I like it a lot.
Thank you very much, Patrick.
I got a question about Larry Fawcett on UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the last time he was on, he had mentioned that Cable News Network was going to do a program on it, and that showed this afternoon. And I was wondering if you had seen it. What
I didn't see the show. Actually, that was a repeat this afternoon. It showed last week at some times. This was about the incident in England, Russell.
Brentwater, right.
American Brentwater, right.
I was just wondering if you'd seen it and what your reaction was.
No, I hadn't seen it. I have, I'm deeply briefed on that particular situation. I'm more interested in what your reaction was.
Well, I find it fascinating. It just backs up everything that Clear Intent said and everything that Larry says on your show, and it gives it a little bit more credibility to the so-called, rest of the public out there.
What kind of footage did they have on the show? Did they have any footage of the...
They had no footage as far as I saw. I caught it halfway, but they had the audio tape along with some sketches and some interviews, which were pretty conclusive as far as the sources, if the sources are who they say they are.
Well, the sources are very accurate as far as I can understand.
Yeah, I agree.
And I certainly want to tip my hat to CNN, who has... in terms of what we would call our major network media, gone out on the limb a little bit to deal with a story that maybe, it's not fighting in the Middle East or the economics, but the validity of the story is there.
Right.
The documentation is there. In fact, a lot of the documentation that Larry talked about that has come out of the Freedom of Information Act is there, and I'm sure that they presented a part of it. And it is a fact of the matter that this particular incident of an ongoing contact at an American base next to an RAF base in England has been documented, is going on, and I'm delighted that CNN did it.
The thing that fascinates me most of everything, along with what you've just said, is the fact that after reading Clear Intent, his book, whether there is alien beings in the UFOs or not, whatever they may be, the fact that the government is trying so hard to cover something up is interesting in itself.
Well, the story of the government cover-up of the UFO phenomenon is now legion. It's it's incredible that it goes on.
Do you know if Larry will be on soon?
We'll try to have Larry back on again. We're scheduled sometime into May. Maybe in May we will get him back on again because there are a number of updates. I'll be having some meetings with him and with Dr. J. Allen Hynek here in the next few weeks.
Did you happen to read the article in Omni with him?
Yes.
Neat article.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
And, what's, Patrick, what's interesting to me is that we are seeing now more and more major media get involved into this particular fray. Because there is a cover-up, there's no doubt about it. The government is admitting it. They're opening up some of the material. They want to let media help them get out of a jam, as it were.
Right.
The people that are involved in government right now were not the ones that were involved in government, let's say, when this whole thing started. And when the cover-up started, which was back during the Truman administration, perhaps there was very good reason for it, and it just became sort of a thing to do if you were involved in that area of government. So... I think with tenderness and gentleness, we'll try to extricate him from that great problem, because what has been hidden from the American people is the fact that there are alien beings in Earth space, and they do not all wear white hats.
Again, I enjoy your show tremendously.
All right, Patrick.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you for bringing the CNN report, and our congratulations to CNN for doing it.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Todd, you're on. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Bill?
All right.
I have a question about Bill Burns. That's his name, right?
Bill Burns was a guest on this show while I was in Fiji, and he was a guest of Lee Marshall.
Right.
And I understand Lee did a very fine job, and again, I want to thank Lee for doing that.
I spoke to him when he was on there with Lee, and I got the impression when he was foreseeing the future for other people that what he saw wasn't exactly concrete, that some of the future is under... people's control. Like one woman said, I want to lose weight. Am I going to? And he said, well, I can recommend you for a nutritionist. And and so forth. He gave me some advice that I get the impression that it's more like I have to do the doing. It's not just going to fall in my lap. You know what I mean?
Yes, I understand what you mean, and I have to agree with Bill Burns in a great way. Whenever you have Bill, for those who don't know, is a psychic and has this marvelous psychic ability to look into the future. But really, when psychics look into the future, I think they look more at probabilities than they do in sort of a predestined thing. You know, if they could look down the road 5 years from now and say that you're going to be at position X in life, and no matter what you did, you would be in position X in life, is a little bit unrealistic, and most psychics will tell you that that's not the case. And what they're looking at is the way things are going now. And they can be very accurate about that if you don't change your ways, whether you want to or not. If what you're looking at, say, 5 years from now is not where you want to be, we still are creatures that have free will and can exercise free energy and can indeed change those things. For instance, if with great accuracy a psychic were to tell you if you were traveling down this road and you were going to go off the edge of the road 2 miles down at this certain curve, and you knew and you had that vision from a psychic or even from your own perceptive ability, if you exercised great care when you got to that curve, you just may not go off for it. But if you didn't, and went utilizing the reflexes that you're ordinarily using, you might well go over it. So that's one of the things to keep in mind. And I think that probably, not having heard what Bill had to say on the show, and he's never been a guest of mine, but he's certainly a fine man in his field, in a very simplistic way, I think I'm explaining what he said to you.
Right. He told what I had to look forward to is, he said about 18 months down the road. However, for those that are interested, he mentioned my wife had a problem at work that was going to be over by the end of February.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of days later, she came home and said that her problem was being transferred at March 1st. So.
How about that?
Yeah, that's what I said. So I guess he's on the money. Okay.
Guys like Bill Burns have established themselves as being extremely accurate, extremely perceptive. You need to, my personal opinion is, pay attention to what they have to say. You certainly don't run your life by this information, but it's another tool for you to help shape your own life. And that's the basic function, I think, of this psychic input that not only Bill has, that he can convey to you, but you yourself have if you learn how to use it.
I'm trying. I just like to tell you, I appreciate your show. You do a good job, and we listen every Saturday night.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Todd.
I hope you have better luck keeping the guests on
there. We're sweating it out again, but that's all right. I've talked to his people today, and I'm confident he will be here, and it'll be quite exciting when he does.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind, and we'll be here till midnight tonight. Be back in a moment. Well, then. Last week he did not make it, but it was not his fault. It was a lack of communication between him and me, because he arrived sometime during the time the show was on. There was no way he can get here, but he is going to make every effort to get here tonight. But while he is in the United States, his schedule is very, very tight, and I'm very, very anxious for you to talk to him. Meanwhile, I'm talking to you about anything that may be on your mind that is a part of this rather broad New Age concept of things that we call the Open Mind Show. And we have, is that Nysene? Is that your name? Hello?
Hello, Nesbitt?
Nesbitt?
Yeah, Nesbitt.
Oh, Nesbitt. Hello, Nesbitt.
Hi, how are you?
I'm not wearing my glasses, so I didn't see that real good.
Okay, listen, first of all, let me just say how much I thoroughly enjoy your show every week. I stay home every Saturday night and listen.
Oh, I hope it's not... So I hope you're not missing something, do you?
No. I don't think I'm missing anything at all.
Well, thank you. How nice.
I'm struggling with a question, Bill. I hope you can help me.
I'll try.
If a person is being contacted on the other side, and they become reincarnated, you know, come back into this reality, what happens to the contact? What happens to contacting that person? I mean, are they being able to be contacted again, or what happens? There's no more contact with that person, you know, like, say, from the same medium, or...
me phrase this in a way where I think what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect that you have, through a medium or some other source, been in contact with someone on the other side, isn't
it? Yes.
Right? Uh-huh. And you feel now that that person is reincarnated back into life.
Yes.
My understanding of it, and certainly I'm certainly no expert on this,
uh-huh.
is that that consciousness that was involved with the person on the other side is now totally involved with the reincarnated person.
Uh-huh.
And your contact with him is going to be pretty well limited on the physical plane.
Uh-huh.
There are some studies, particularly from the out-of-body travelers, that indicate that the consciousness that controls you and I actually can live in three or four different situations at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And so I wouldn't preclude trying to make a contact with that consciousness, even though right now it may be a small child, which in physical life, but that consciousness may also be existing in another plane. I'm just not that fully familiar with it all. It is a very bewildering set of facts that we have to deal with, those that get into this.
Mm-hmm.
But there is some evidence from the out-of-body travelers and from some of the mediums and some of the other things that we can look at that have some sort of validity to them to say that the consciousness is not totally involved with just the physical life.
Yeah.
In my mind, because I just haven't traveled that far myself, I would feel that the consciousness is involved with the physical life, but there is some that feel that that's not quite so.
Yeah, there is a possibility of one's consciousness existing in other realities, and that's sort of like what I suspected.
Well, it's an incredible world out there that we are just now beginning to sort of scratch the surface on for a lot of reasons, and who knows what we're scratching.
Thank you so much, Bill.
All right.
Thank you very much, Nutty.
Appreciate the call, and I don't know how helpful it was, but we'll try. Lucille, you're on. Let me punch you up. Lucille, are you there? Whoop. Seven? Hello? Who do we have there? They've got all of these buttons for me to push, and I'm not pushing the right one. We'll try this one again. Hello? Boris.
Boris, yeah.
Oh, okay. You came up on the computer real fast there.
Can you hear me all right?
I hear you fine. I'm glad you can hear me. I thought I was in limbo for a second.
Oh. Well, when Dr. Peebles was on, I got the impression that he thought the soul entered the fetus at the time of conception. And the information that I have been familiar with says that the soul enters either in the last month of pregnancy or at birth.
Where did you get that information?
Oh, I picked it up variously from reading over a long period, and I don't have it right in front of me where it came from. I thought this was critical in terms of the abortion decision. In other words, if the soul is put in right back at the beginning, then you're dumping somebody if you abort. And on the other hand, if the soul enters... Well, let me tell you a story I remember now that it's coming to mind. There was a ghost that appeared at the end of somebody's pregnancy announcing that she was the intended, and they came acquainted with the mother. And then when the child came, the child resembled the ghost. And I thought that...
Where did you get this information?
Well, I'm afraid I've forgotten where I got it from. I've been reading this stuff for 20 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if this were the case, then, that they were coming in lately, all I'm suggesting is that the people are getting too worked up about the abortion decision on that. In other words, there's many opportunities to get in.
Well, I don't want to confuse some thinking and some ancient teaching and perhaps and some modern teaching too as well with the, you know, the legal and political things that are going on concerning abortion right now. I really don't want to confuse those. But let me ask you a question. when the sperm and the egg come together, and this marvelous process begins of the formation of a human being, rather than a leaf, let's say, inside the womb of the mother, where is the intelligence that is forming that human being coming from?
Well, I think they are between incarnations. Now, this I got from the many books I've read by people who do hypnotic regression.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up with the figure, well, in one case, of about 80 years being a typical period between incarnations. Then the time is announced that it is time to go down, and now they go down through the tunnel, the reverse of the process, which is described by the death experience where they revive after having been dead for a few minutes. Now, that process is reversed. They get the buzzing noise. They go down the tunnel, and then they find they're in the birth canal. And
they found a little body already ready for them, in other words.
That's right.
Inside the womb of the mother. Now, where did the intelligence come from that created the body?
Well, this, of course, we don't know. Now, some people say, well, it's in a different state of existence, but the lore of ghosts would suggest that such people can exist in our plane. In other words, the ghost hunters say, well, we've seen them.
Mm.
Or they say, we've got photographs of them, and in my family they have been seen.
Well, let me tell you just the things that have discussed on the show. I'm certainly not giving you my feeling one way or the other, but just the things that have come out from the talkings with Dr. Peoples and from the out-of-body travelers and those people that have a unique insight to this sort of thing. And we will cast aside for a moment with the political considerations and the legal considerations that it takes an enormous amount of intelligence beyond the capability of the human community to change the union of a sperm and an egg into a living human being. This generally is attributed to what we would call spiritual intelligence. Now, when spiritual intelligence takes over that and starts utilizing an intelligence that is a master biochemist, a master electrician, a master of things far beyond what we can do at our highest citadels of learning, intelligence is involved, and it is not the intelligence of the mother. The mother is providing only a safe place and the basic raw materials in order to get that job done. So there is spiritual intelligence there at that moment on. Now, whether, you know, how that conflicts with whatever the legal ramifications of that are is inconsequential in this discussion. But it doesn't just happen by itself. Intelligence has to be at work there. And you can take it from that point on. And that's all I can really tell you about that, Boris.
Well, that's all I wanted really to do is to put a little input into that, because there are so very many sources of this kind of information. There are so many people working on it, and you've done a marvelous job of finding people we've never heard of. There are many, many more, and so I wish you all success in getting more of them together.
Okay, Boris, thank you very much for your call.
Okay.
All right, appreciate you getting in here. And
right.
I'm very happy to announce that Dr. Manners is here. And welcome aboard, Peter. Good to see you back on our microphones here.
Thank you very much indeed. It's nice to be back here.
We've had some trouble, but Los Angeles traffic is a lot of fun. Isn't it all? So for the next 2.5 hours, we have Dr. Peter Guy Manners with you for an encore appearance here on the Open Mind Show. Your last appearance, Peter, was electrifying.
Oh, thank you very much.
We found out that there is another way to take care of the human body other than inject it with chemicals.
That's correct.
And cut it open and do all of that sort of thing.
Sure.
You're really in the forefront of this, and I'm looking forward to you explaining us the things that you have been doing and what has been accomplished, and we'll get to that in just a moment. I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. And important to you, at least it's something to listen to. Are there changes in the nature of the human being, Peter, that cause us to respond differently than we did a few years ago to things that are ailing us?
Oh, yes. Yes, I think since we were here speaking to you last, we've come a long way along the road. We found a lot more things out concerning somatic therapy, which we were basically engaged in. We found a lot more developments are in it, that it does much more than we originally thought it did. There was also a lot of things which we didn't think it was doing, and we now we found that it is.
What is somatic therapy?
What is somatic therapy? Basically, it's an alternative to drug therapy. I can say this in all sincerity, being an MD myself. For far too long, the medical profession has been engaged in sort of waging a battle with inside the human body by the induction of drugs. And we think it's about time we found some other way, some other method. And cymatics is another way, another method. It's much more normal, it's much more natural. There are no side effects, no contraindications. And it's something which I think within another year or two will be vastly important all over the world.
Just what does cymatics do, then, if we have something is ailing us? Let's say something catastrophic. Let's say cancer, just to pick something out of the air.
Well, don't take the serious one first. Take some of the easier ones first.
All right, we'll go to the common cold.
Let's gradually lead up to the other. Let me try to explain first. If there is something ailing you, let's start with your first statement first. If there's something ailing you, then there is something wrong with the harmonic consistency within the body itself. We've been lecturing over here in this country for the past 10 years on this basic concept and saying that the whole of the human body is a harmonic console. In other words, it's producing sounds. The muscles and the heart and the lungs and the liver, etc., produce a harmonic sound. Well, no one's taken a great deal of notice of that until suddenly, it was, I think it's about a year ago now, and two of your doctors over here discovered that we were right. And
yeah.
Absolutely amazing. I was absolutely thrilled about the whole thing.
They admitted that it wasn't invented in the USA.
That's right. And that muscles actually make sounds. And they published it in one of your medical journals over here. So now we're not talking rubbish anymore, you see. We're talking really something that has been achieved now.
Now, muscles make sounds.
Muscles make sounds.
I knew my joints make sounds. I hear those quite often. But I didn't know my muscles did.
Oh, yes. And this is why when you say when something ails you, what actually happens is that the frequency within whatever area of the body is ailing has changed, that the frequency pattern has altered. And the whole point of cymatics is to correct that frequency pattern. Previously, we've done it with drugs. But by doing it by drugs is basically a very roundabout way. Now, we found a much more effective way by using sound actually injected into the structure and to the system. Now, when we first started doing this, we thought... that this was to be an end of all of it. I mean that we could rectify and change the frequency and structures, and that was it. Well, since then, as I say, we've come a long way, and we found that it's doing much more than that. By injecting sound into the human anatomy and the structure, we can change its chemical values. We can activate the hormone deficiency, either up or down. There's all sorts of things that can be actually done and achieved.
Well, are you saying in a way that when, say, the muscle tissue or the organs or whatever are in a perfectly healthy state, they are at a certain frequency?
That's correct.
And if something comes along, whatever it may be, that is interfering with that and makes them go off kilter,
yes,
they start responding at a different frequency.
That's right. The frequency will change.
The frequency will change,
yes.
And you are able now to overcome that frequency and get it back to normal.
That's correct. Yes.
With sound.
That's right. It's just as simple as that.
Or sound is a form of vibration. What about light?
Light is an extension, obviously, of sound.
Obviously.
This is why, again, in the earlier days, we used to call it light therapy or color therapy. Well, it's no longer called that now. It's now called chromatology.
Well, naturally, we always put a nice bureaucratic
name
on it.
Oh, yes, you've got to put a very fancy word on it because
yes.
It sounds better anyway.
It does.
But you see, the point is that light is an extension of sound. If you take sound and you have a basic frequencies, you can produce a sound by it. But if you increase the amount of cycles per second of each frequency and lift it higher, instead of, we say, having 1,000 or 2,000 cycles per second, you've got hundreds of thousands of cycles per second, then you move it from the range of hearing and move it into the range of light. In other words, you begin to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You cease to hear it and you begin to see it. So therefore, the two are connected and the two therapies are interrelated and connected.
But nevertheless, you are forcing a new vibration upon the ailing vibration. And whether it is in the sound spectrum or the light spectrum, you're getting it back to normal.
No. Let me correct you, if I may, on the first thing. We're not correcting an alien frequency in. We're putting in the corrected frequency. The alien frequency is already in there.
Well, that's what I mean. From the normal to the to the ill,
that's right.
And now you're just getting it back
into
place.
And you get to bring it back into balance, yes. That's correct.
Now, by using sound, then, you're able, then, to overcome the wrong frequency that developed because of the illness or whatever it is.
That's right.
Overpower it, is that
yes.
say?
Yes.
And get it back to normal. Now, does
yes.
that doesn't does that ensure good health?
Yes. Oh, yes. If everything is, working at its normal frequencies and its correct frequencies, then you're harmonic, you're in good health. But if it goes out, then there's a disharmony or a disharmonic, mm-hmm. and you're in dis-ease. Hence the word.
Well, that's what disease is.
That's what disease is, yes.
Disease, isn't it?
That's right.
So by electronically forcing it back into position,
uh-huh.
you just have to then be in ease again.
That's right.
How successful have you been with this idea?
We've been using this in our clinic now for the past 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
We have case histories going back over 20 years of all varying sort of conditions. For the first 8 years, we literally locked the research field down into treating muscular diseases, bone diseases, and all the things which were simple within that to amass enough evidence that it was actually working. But now, of course, I mean, it's used in all sorts of complaints and diseases now.
Well, I think one of the bellwethers, I think, for advanced thinking, particularly in the medical world, is to get it past the American Medical Association. Because we're talking about some stodgy folks who like to give pills for the most part. How well are you doing with those minds?
Well, if I can answer the first question first. I think your powers that be, government, whatever they are very much overprotective of the population of the United States.
That's a kind way to put it, David.
Well, I've got to put it kind. I mean, I'm a visitor into the country. I've got to put it kindly. I mean, they fuss about literally like an old hen over all you people over here. And by so doing...
That's not all bad, by the way. Their skepticism is very healthy.
No. The idea behind it is very, very good. They're trying to look after your welfare. But in so doing, they're like an overprotective mother looking after her child. But the child doesn't get any experience at all and loses an awful lot by it.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, the Americans are losing an awful lot by it because they're blocking things out which really must come in. They'll come in eventually, so they might just well open up and let them come in anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they'll come in.
They're going to come in the back door anyway.
They'll come in any door. I mean, they come in the window over the wall. I mean, anyway, but they get in here.
Right.
I mean, if a thing works, you can't stop it. You can't halt progress. You can't strangle it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, this is medical science. And you can't stop medical science. I mean, if it's working and it's progressing and it does what it does what it's supposed to do and what it's tested, we've written papers on it, we've done all these kind of things on it, and still they try to block it out. You see, everything that comes out, it doesn't matter what it is, I mean, is new to begin with, and it's got to start somewhere, somehow.
That's
so
right.
It's ridiculous to say, well, I mean, what experiences have been behind it? We've had 20 years experience behind this. I mean, it's not something new. This sort of just jumped out of the frying pan. It's something that's had thorough and very severe testing.
Well, when the authorities look at your database, as it were, you've got
uh-huh.
decades of case histories where
yes.
This science has been applied, and you have had these kind of results with it. You can take the same kind of cases then where they've treated it with chemicals. How does it stack up to the chemical treatment, the pill treatment, or the cutting treatment?
Oh, far better, far better.
Far better.
Oh, yes. You see, there are no side effects from this. You see, if you administer drugs, However careful you may be, you're bound to have side effects from it because it's something which is contrary to the system and to the body in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the body has to rid itself of it. And therefore, you set up a battleground literally within the system, within the structure. But, I mean, if you're using which is something which is complementary, something which the body can use, which the body has basically in it when it's in a good state of health, if you've got there, if you're using something of that, then you're on a different bat altogether.
Well, I know I started talking there and probably stopped you from answering a question of how is this data and how is this research and the wealth of information that you've generated over all of these years being received by the, quote, powers that be in the American medical community, which not only involves the doctors themselves and their associations, but, of course, the marvelous bureaucracies in Washington.
Well, when we say the powers that be, individually, doctors, I mean, have no objection from it person to person. I mean, if you show them something, then you can prove something, well, then they're interested. But I think the biggest opposition to this is not the powers that be as such, but the vested interest of drug houses. This is where your biggest problem comes in.
Well, that's true, because
if we can offset the use and indiscriminate use of highly expensive drugs by a simple and easy method, I mean, the drug houses are not going to like it at all.
Well, that's true. The people at Upjohn and Pfizer and the rest of them are not going to look upon you with great favor, are
they? No, they're certainly not.
That's a very sad commentary on our time.
Yes.
But it is a part of the ethic of the world, I suppose. But certainly it has been elevated to a a fine art here in America.
Well, it certainly has. And, of course, the whole point is that, I mean, there should not be the amount of money involved in drugs that there are. I mean, the vast and terrific profits that they make out of it is almost staggering if you knew the basic truth behind this. I mean, most of these drugs could be produced at a fraction of the cost of what they're charging for them. But the point is, if we can perfect an entirely different concept or a different way, they're certainly not going to like that, and they're going to fight very hard to oppose it. And what they do at the present moment is using, as we say, the powers that be, as an instrument to try to destroy it and to try to block these things.
So it gets back to the old buck, doesn't it? And our old body is, who cares?
That's right.
As long as we will spend a bunch of bucks on it.
That's right.
Our intent is to keep it healthy so we can carve out for ourselves the great life that we should have. There are others that wanted to get sick so they can sell us a bunch of chemicals. And if somebody comes along a way to cure the ailments that we may have without using chemicals, then they get very upset because they like the dollar more than the body.
That's right.
Sad, isn't it?
It is.
It's true all over the world, unfortunately.
Oh, yes, it's true everywhere. But our driver coming along this evening said, well, is the concept of this more advanced in the United Kingdom than it is in the United States? The answer to that is, yes, it is, but not because we say we've got more brains over there than you've got over here, because that isn't true. But the point is because we have got open mind in the United Kingdom. And over here, at the present moment, in lots of these respects, you've got a closed mind, so we've got to open it up.
Well, I like your terminology there. I certainly do. We're speaking to Dr. Peter Guy Manners from England, who is perhaps in the eyes of those who are involved in providing the medical community with chemicals, a maverick of sorts. Who? Why did he come to the United States? But he has come to the United States, and this is his second trip to Open Mind. And we want to talk to him a little bit more and give you an opportunity to talk to him, too. Because there is a wealth of data, there's a wealth of information that could be very, very beneficial to you. And we'll find out just how far we are coming in the United States toward giving you an alternative to chemicals and the knife here tonight with Dr. Manners. If you'd like to talk to him, let me give you the numbers. In Los Angeles, 520-TALK, T-A-L-K. All of our numbers end in talk, and that's with me, Dr. Peter Guy Manners. Dr. Manners, certainly in the forefront, the vanguard of a whole new way of taking care of yourself, a way that is natural, a way that uses primarily sound, light, color, And sound, light, and color, according to his research for the last many years, many decades, has proven to be more and more effective than chemicals. Oh, my goodness. What are we going to do without all of the pills? Do you realize how that will change and alter our way of life, Peter? What are you doing to us? We don't have the little pills to take when we get sick. What could one do if they don't want to take any chemicals here in the United States right now? They've got something the matter with them. Is the American medical community getting into this? Are they recognizing it? Are they looking at the data, realizing it, and utilizing it?
Well, I think to answer that first and constructively, you told me I hadn't got to be shy, so I'm not going to be shy on this program. Right. Then I think one of the first things you've got to study is a bill which is scheduled to go through Congress on its next session, Bill number 6050. Without much public awareness or public voice, this bill may very well become law. And the bill is being perfected by a Florida representative, Claude Pepper, and is backed by the American Medical Association. Now, if this bill goes through, it's not receiving a great deal of publicity, but if this bill goes through, it will give the allow the AMA and its affiliated organizations and country medical societies to adjudicate acceptable standards of medical practice and medical treatment. Any diagnosis or therapy lying outside these standards can be prohibited then by law. And the second part of the bill authorizes a blanket education of the public to the findings and opinions of the AMA, vitamins, minerals, and most nutritional substances may be restricted to prescription only by physicians. Health food stores will be prohibited from most types of product sales. In other words, they're going to have more and more jurisdiction over your illness and your sickness. After all, I mean, if you're sick, it's your problem. Not the government's problem, really. It's really your problem. And you should have the free choice. And we always look to America as being the bastion of freedom, of human rights, and the person's right to be able to choose what type of treatment they require, what type of treatment they want to have. And, I mean, if these kind of bills go through, I mean, you're going to lose that right.
But it sounds to me like they're trying to figure out a way to tax sickness now. You know, if we can get the government in control with it, they'll want to tax it also. Get sick and get taxed.
Yes, they will.
So Claude Pepper is behind this.
Yeah.
That seems to be an unusual move for Claude Pepper, to put the doctors in charge of everything.
I think it would be a good idea if you brought him to the other side of this table and ask him some questions.
Well, Claude has been here quite often at this very table that we're sitting at, and I am a bit surprised at that. Now, you know, on the surface of it, you would not mind a cadre of your finest minds in the medical profession to have the say-so about what is right and what is wrong in medical treatment. They certainly would make more sense, you would think, than politicians, or certainly me.
True.
Or someone else who was uneducated. Very few, however, of our politicians are doctors.
Uh-huh.
What we see here now is an insertion now of political clout and the great lobbying effect and the great influence that the purveyors of chemicals have over the medical profession itself.
Yeah.
Because, as do the chemical companies make a great deal of money, so, indeed, do the doctors. So are we really serving the public with this kind of an idea, which shows itself on the surface to probably be a good one, but it's not necessarily. Well, there's our music, which means that we'll be right back right after the news with what's turning out to be a rather stimulating conversation. We'd like to have your thoughts about Claude Pepper's bill, the role of the AMA, and your role in being in charge of your own destiny as far as medical care is concerned. For there is new science involved, and it's a part of the new age. I'll be right back.
Sort of
wetted our whistle a little bit about the way this evening is going to go. We're talking about the status quo, in a way, I guess we could say, Peter. The way things are now, as if they were embedded in concrete. That the creator of the universe has given our society all the information there is about everything, particularly medicine. But the things we're dealing about tonight has to do with the healing of the human body. But the concepts we're dealing with extend through almost all areas of advanced new thinking, whether it is in the world of science or politics or sociology or whatever. Certainly medicine has its problems there, too. Dr. Manners is a man who represents himself to be, and he has decades of research and data behind him, that there is a better way than what we are seeing here in the United States in taking care of the human body. Are you having a great deal of problems now, Peter, in bringing that to the attention of the medical community at large? Not talking about its official functions, necessarily, the AMA or the bureaucracy, but the doctors and the people themselves, the patients, the people who...
No, not anymore. Well, in the early days of this field of research, yes, it was. It was very difficult. You had to be very brave to stand up on a platform and say some of the things which you can discuss quite openly now, because it was rejected. The first thing you would say is, well, can you prove this scientifically? Well, of course, that sort of remark is never made in any meeting now, however highly intellectual the audience may be, because there's a very good answer for that. Well, how far does your knowledge and experience in science go? Because if you're bogged down in materialism, then it's useless talking to you. But if your concept of science reaches out now into the, what should I say, the fourth dimension and the way where medicine is going and science is going, all right, then we can discuss it. But...